You ready?
Ready when you are.
I'm ready. We're all ready.
Oh, feels good to be back.
Lovely.
Claire, you picked the film this week.
I did. It was a panic decision. I had to choose at the end of the last meeting and work my way down the list of IMDb's top 50 films. And first, I picked one, and then I read the blurb, and it looked unbelievably unpleasant. I don't remember what it was. And then this was the next one that I hadn't seen.
Excellent.
So I picked it despite protestations from a certain group member.
Fernando. Let people pick what they want, Fernando.
Modern Times, 1936.
Oh, yes, I picked Modern Times, 1936.
Prompts Laura immediately going, oh, another stupid fucking black and white, silent, boring, olden days film.
It was black and white and olden days, to be fair.
Yeah. Not that silent, though.
Well, it didn't have sound recording at the time.
It was definitely more silent than most of the films we watch.
The audio was all recorded separately to the video.
Is that right?
I think so. I don't think there was any audio that was concurrent with what was happening on the screen.
Well, let's think. We saw the guy on the view screen saying, sector number 5, work faster. I thought that was synced with his lips. Certainly they'd been able to do that for about 10 years, hadn't they?
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah. Sorry, maybe we should do the whip round, should we?
Yeah.
Yes. What did you think, Michael?
Oh, I absolutely want to hear what Laura thought first.
Oh, I was going to build up to Laura.
Well, Laura, it should come as no surprise that I loved it.
Yes.
This Chaplin guy, he's going somewhere. Yeah. Look out for him. Yeah, my heart, Charlie Chaplin. That was great. Yeah, I really
watch
enjoyed
his
it.
Career with great interest.
Charlize.
So you thought it was good?
Yeah, I really liked it.
Excellent. I did as well. I thought it was fantastic. I laughed out loud again and again. And then I thought a little bit, and then I carried on laughing. And then I thought a little bit more, and then it was over.
That's a good film. Yeah. I laughed, and I didn't have time to have any thoughts about it. So.
Okay, well, we'll see if you can develop some as we go along. That's okay. All. There isn't a test.
Fernando?
Yeah, I thought it was good, especially the second half. I must confess that the first half was a little maybe introductory, but then when Elle came into the picture, I really liked her, and when the two storylines were combined, I think that was my favorite. But yeah, overall, I thought it was good.
Excellent. I think we might have a clean sweep.
Brilliant.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny. I thought it was entertaining. Good film.
Political.
Certainly was.
There was a lot of subtle commentary, wasn't there? It was wasn't too in your face about it all, was it? Wow. Yeah.
I love Charlie Chaplin now. He's so cute.
Yeah, he was brilliant, wasn't he? Yeah. Very likable. I worry with stuff like this when it's sort of old and silent and funny makeup and stuff that it's going to be a bit weird and a bit scary, like clowns or whatever. But he was just great.
Yeah. What a odd looking man.
Yeah. Just
his body. I mean, he can do strange, strange things with his body, but.
Yeah. It was like he was born to play comedy roles, right? To be this funny man. And he just played that so well. So I understand this was the final film with the tramp, and he played that character quite a lot in his earlier films. So that this was its last outing.
Yeah.
And apparently it's best received, at least according to the list of films that Claire's working through from the top down.
I hadn't seen any Charlie Chaplin films before, but I think I will watch more.
Excellent.
As a result of this.
Me too. I was really pleased with this. He wrote it and directed it and wrote the fucking music.
Wow.
This man can do everything.
What a talented man.
Yeah, brilliant. I've just never seen someone perform that kind of physical comedy so well. Every scene he just had, he was doing the funny bit, and then there'd just be all these little side bits, like bit that just for half a second he'd just play really weirdly. And I'm trying to think how to describe it. Like, he'd make you laugh in between the funny bits.
Doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But it does. I know what you mean.
It's like the laughs just came so fast. They were like the main jokes in the scene as written. And then the way he played it just made you laugh at extra times as well, just from his reactions and, the way he'd do stuff. It was just great.
It was like his body didn't have any bones or something, or too many bones. I couldn't figure it out. Just his body shouldn't move like that. Yeah. It's just so fun. Just immediately I was captivated by how it was moving. And what a genius move to have those weird shoes just turned out like a little penguin. So good.
Yeah. It's just amazingly brilliant.
Where did it come from?
Yeah, I went into this with some prejudice.
Yeah, what were you worried about?
I'll hold my hands up. It was quite a long time to I just have that stigma of silent black and white films, so now I am a heathen.
Yeah, you didn't get a lot out of Nosferatu, did you?
I really didn't, no. And I thought, comedy from the 19... To be fair, when I even though we keep saying it's from 1936, I didn't click that it was quite that late. I thought it was earlier, like the late 20s or mid-20s or something.
Well, this is well observed. He was...
When films were shit,
You thought it was going to be like In the Wake of the Bounty.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah. I just couldn't imagine that they would have any humour that I would find amusing.
Yeah, okay.
In 2024. But there's no way that's going to have held up, translate. But what do I know, eh?
Yeah.
Dumb bitch, that's what you call me.
Wow.
Yeah, but just as soon as it started, I really liked it. Didn't take long.
Right from the start.
Pretty much. They showed those sheep, and then it cut to those men, and it was that funny little music sort of bubbling along. I was like, oh, this is actually...
See, that's what I mean. So quite good. You might not have picked up in this, but again, very subtle. I think he was implying that the men were like the sheep.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. I was waiting for the sheep to come back this whole time. It was just a question posed at the beginning. What does the sheep mean?
Oh, did you think it was a movement from like agrarian economy to an industrial economy? Right.
I think you're too harsh. You're calling this a heavy-handed metaphor, are you?
Yes, like
the whole film. I mean, clearly we could see. I mean, it was called Modern Times, wasn't it? It was meant to.
I think metaphor is a stretch.
Yeah. It was it had a point to make, didn't it? But
yeah.
I thought that compared to some films, a lot of films I've seen that are trying to make a point, he really didn't labour it too much. Every scene, you could say this is like what it's trying to say about society. But within that, he was just clowning around and joking and having a good time. There was something to keep you going through it. It wasn't like every second he was like banging on about, oh, you see how rough it is for the workers. He was just like, yeah, look, here's a stupid situation. Isn't society ridiculous? And now, enjoy yourself for 10 minutes. And I really respected that. I thought that was good. But yeah, I also like that he didn't make it too subtle. He didn't need to. But at times I think there were questions, I think, about what he was trying to say in some of the scenes.
Yeah.
Can you present us with one of them?
No, they're all very obvious.
I also read on the Wikipedia that he's not very political.
Okay.
So on the wiki it says, like, you know, he's not, he doesn't really make political films. He just is demonstrating things as they are with an outlandish kind of like exaggerating to the top. But I disagree with that. I thought it was an overtly political film, but as you say, you know, it wasn't really trying to hit us over the head with the message. It was using it for comedy.
Yeah. And in a way it was like, you can't really show what life is like for working people in industrialized America without leading the person to think that there are problems with the system. And so I had some sympathy for him there. But things like the communists and the trade unionists in the film, wasn't quite clear whether he was saying they were in the right and, we've seen how badly these workers are, what terrible situations and lives these workers have got. The thing to do, everyone, is to unite and form trade unions and bring about a communist utopia or whatever. He wasn't quite saying that. And at the same time, he wasn't quite saying, well, they're all ridiculous. But there was some slight mockery of it. They had, like, the steelworks had been closed for, like, 10 years because of the Depression. And then it opened again, and on the day it was open, they worked for the morning, had their lunch, and then the entire factory went on strike.
Yeah.
And that seemed like that was sort of trying to... What exactly was that saying? It was just something to make us think. Yeah, it was just saying that this is kind of what modern times are like. What do you think of that? I also... We'll talk, I'm sure, about the final scene, the ending, the walking off into the sunset. I thought that was very ambiguous and bittersweet and open to interpretation. So I really think, particularly at the end of a film and particularly at the end of a lighthearted comedy film, he could very easily have said, here's the message, goodbye. But he didn't. He gave us something a bit odd to think about and a bit subtle, and I liked it.
Interesting.
So that's my defence.
What do you think it meant?
I think... So, to remind, well, could you remind us what happened?
They've caught up with her, the police.
Yeah.
So they have to run away.
Yeah. So they run away, and then they're sitting at the side of the road, and he's just getting ready to carry on, and she just starts crying and says, "What's the point? We're never going to get away from this." I can't remember the exact words, but something like, "What's the point of trying?" When we can never actually fix things. And she says all this looking directly down the lens of the camera. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It's the first time anyone's looked down the lens of the camera in the whole film, as far as I can remember. Certainly the first time. And it was like a close-up on her face as well. It felt like they were addressing the audience. And Charlie Chaplin, you know, maybe in his role as the tramp or maybe in his role as a filmmaker and entertainer, just says, just keep smiling, things will turn out all right. And she like forces herself to smile and then walks off into the sunset. And what exactly is that? Maybe we are meant to sort of take it at face value that he's cheered her up a bit and it is a good thing to try and keep a positive attitude and keep smiling and hope for the best and just keep on trying in life, even when things are tough. Or maybe he was sort of saying, look, this is all I can do as an entertainer. I'm just telling you all to keep grinning, even though there's terrible problems with society. And that's all I've got to offer.
Like how he's just made us smile for an hour and a half.
Exactly. Yeah, we're sitting in a cinema in the middle of the Great Depression. And he's just, this wasn't for them making fun of industry 90 years ago. This was for them, like, taking off every single injustice in that society that people would have been dealing with day in and day out. And then to wrap up the film like that, ooh. And again, it's leading the audience to think, well, shall I just keep on smiling? Or shall I go on strike and vote for the Communist Party or whatever? I just don't know. You can see why he was accused of communist sympathies later, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And I think at the time. But you can also see, he's almost said it himself, when he grabs the flag off the truck and starts chasing after it to try and just flag down the truck and give him the flag back. And there's a load of communists marching behind him and he's taken as the leader. It's as if he was saying, look, I'm not starting. I'm just standing. I'm just making jokes about stuff. But at the same time, it'd be hard to say that he wasn't making some kind of point. So yeah, I thought about a lot of this stuff all the way through it, and I don't know what the answers to these questions are.
He's breaking the wheel.
He's breaking the wheel.
Yes. Of the machines. There were so many machines and cogs and things turning.
Oh, yeah.
Which, you know, symbolise the whole broader capitalist machine. And they exempt themselves from it by walking off together.
That's good. At one point, he drops a spanner in the works. So he's not thrown it in, he's just accidentally.
Yes. Carelessly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we've stumbled into symbolism.
Yeah.
Yes, we have, haven't we? Sorry, is there anything broader we want to say? I feel like I've been talking a lot. What do other people think?
Should we come back to symbolism? I'm just trying to, you know, admin here.
Yeah. Yeah, why not?
We'll come back to symbolism.
I just thought it was funny.
Yeah.
That was mostly what I was getting out of it.
It's a funny film.
Yeah. Bits of it were funny. Yeah. It was silly.
Done.
It was clearly, I feel like it was, yeah.
What was your favourite scene?
What was my favourite scene? Oh, it was definitely the roller skating scene.
That's up there for me.
That was memorable.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't believe it.
Just amazing.
Biting my nails. It's crazy.
I think I've seen that before.
Fernando?
What was my favourite scene?
Yeah.
I know which was my favourite joke. Maybe that's also my favorite scene. So when Charles Chaplin says, I'll get a home, I'll get a home even if I have to work for it. I thought it was dumb. That was cute. Then every scene with Paulette Goddard was my favorite scene because she was so good looking.
Yeah, I've got notes on this.
I didn't think she was good looking. I was looking at her being like, that's an interesting choice because she's not classically good looking.
What? Nora, you have to leave this conversation.
As interesting you say she wasn't classically good looking. My main thought is she looks like a good looking actress from like 40 years later. She looks like not what someone in the 30s would think is good looking.
What?
But what someone now would think is good looking to me.
I thought she looked like she was from the future.
Yeah. I think it's because, when I see like a heroine in really old films like this, I expect them to be a bit sort of weird looking and have odd makeup and look really old fashioned. And maybe it was because she was just from off the streets and had messy hair and stuff, but she didn't have any of that. She looked like, what I would expect today's beautiful actress to look like.
Mm.
But she was such a great performer as well.
The
sort of hungry look in her eyes, but also the joy and mischief in her the way she sort of played that role of poverty. I thought she was fantastic.
Yeah, she also had a real physicality to everything she did.
Yeah. But you didn't think she was good looking, Laura?
I thought she was good looking for a normal looking woman.
Okay. You mean you thought she was normal looking?
No, I thought I could pass her on the street and think, yeah, it's a good looking woman.
Yeah,
she's no Margot Robbie.
Remind me who Margot Robbie is.
Barbie.
Oh, right. Okay.
She's the best looking woman in the world. And I'm not saying she's, you know, I'm the most attracted to her, but physically, you wouldn't pass her in the street.
Okay. I'm trying to think of who to compare it to. You remember First Night with Sean Connery? What was the woman in that? What was she called?
I don't remember her name, but
something like that.
Yes.
Claire, did you think the gammon was pretty?
I thought so.
Strikingly, unusually.
I mean, just sort of like how most actors are quite pretty.
Yeah.
Like, at least moderately nice to look at. She wasn't unpleasant to look at. Yeah, I wouldn't say she was the best looking.
Yeah, it sounds like you're about roughly what Laura's saying.
I'd say she's a Hollywood 6.
What?
Yeah.
But Laura and I both agree that she looked like she was from the future. She looked like an actress from a later time, and it's possibly because she was sort of on the street rather than being, rather than playing a role of a sort of housewife or whatever that would be very made up and that kind of thing.
All actresses from the 20s look generally the same. I keep saying 20s, but 20s and 30s.
Yeah.
They all had tiny little, almost snubby noses, round chins.
Yeah.
That kind of like pressed hair that covers up most of their forehead and face.
Weirdly curled hair.
Yeah.
Yep.
Big giant eyes.
Betty Davis eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah, like Judy Garland.
I wouldn't say her.
So, did Fernando think she was attractive then?
Yes, very.
Right.
Very.
10 out of 10.
Yeah, he raised the point.
10 out of 10.
Mm.
Hollywood 10 out of 10.
Yes. Universal 10 out of 10.
Wow. She's good looking.
Maybe not. She's okay. I mean, no offense, but I think I'm better looking than this woman.
Sorry to break it to
and
you.
And I'm just a normal woman.
Well, this is interesting. I guess what it comes down to in the end is that whether someone's attractive is subjective and not everyone has the same opinion.
So I've just learned that Charles Chaplin was married to this woman.
Oh.
Yeah. For like 6 years.
Mm-hmm. They both have like...
And then they divorced and both remarried like twice.
Mm-hmm.
That's nice.
But apparently she was in The Great Dictator with him as well.
Ah, that's the famous one, isn't it? Is that his most famous film?
I think that or this, yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's the one I've heard of.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
He's a looker. You looked at his Wikipedia page.
Who?
Charlie Chaplin.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
He looks weird, doesn't he?
No, look at the picture from the early 20s.
Yeah, that's for me, that's like the... That's the male equivalent of this category that Laura's just sent us a photo of. Looks odd. I think it's the hair.
The dashing hair.
He looks sort of pampered.
That sort of expression where they widen their eyes and they sort of purse their lips a little bit.
Mm.
They look slightly startled or frightened or something in all photos from this era.
He was 21 years older than Paulette Goddard.
Yeah.
Oh.
It was a scandal, apparently, of some kind.
Imagine being born in 1889. Wow. That's old.
That is quite old.
Yeah.
Wow, that's 100 years before I was born.
Yeah.
Wow.
And Taylor Swift.
Taylor Swift, wow. Maybe this will be Taylor Swift's century.
Mm.
If the last one was Charlie Chaplin's. Well, good stuff anyway. Yeah, I liked their love story. I thought it was really sweet. Much nicer than I expected it to be.
So I did freak me out a little bit that she was a child.
Was she a child?
I didn't realise this. Yeah.
Well, the state were trying to, the state were like trying to put her into care or whatever. And she ran away.
Oh, because she was a minor?
Yeah.
All right. That's funny. I mean, the actor was 25, right?
Yeah, she was.
Certainly didn't look like a child, but yeah, that's an odd one.
Well, otherwise, if she was old enough, then they'd have let the children stay with her, wouldn't they? They wouldn't have been.
Yeah, you'd imagine that certainly they wouldn't try to take her into care as well.
Mm.
Ah, weird.
Different times. They should have called this. Past times.
Olden times.
Oh, that's an interesting and curious one as well. There's not like a thing where they would do that if she was 20, but not if she was 21 or something like that. Like, what's the maximum age they'd be doing this to her for? 17?
I'd have said 18 was the youngest, oldest, the cutoff.
Yeah, okay. Anyway, she was cool. I was glad that they didn't, there was not really any conflict between the two of them.
Mm.
They didn't even make a big point about them falling in love, but I think it was clear that they did fall in love, and then they were just sort of devoted to each other till the very end.
Did you see that there was an alternative end filmed?
No.
No.
Oh, she joins a nunnery, and they separate forever.
Huh. Interesting. What happens to him?
I think he goes off, it's the same end with him. He goes off into the sunset by himself.
Oh,
that's much less nice.
Yeah.
That's when he was trying to make some point about religion and decided against it.
I'm not sure, but in the bit that described the different endings, it said that he'd decided on that one because they were essentially two halves of the same. They were kind of each other's perfect match.
Yeah. Yeah, good call.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah. What was your favourite scene, Michael?
Oh, the roller skating was quite good. And I think particularly when he's completely fine and never goes over the edge, and then it's when she alerts him to it that he pulls off the blindfold and absolutely freaks out and nearly falls off the edge like three times just by panicking, and he does that so well. So that was up there, and I liked how he just kept on getting arrested and taken to the police station just again and again and again. That's really good. And the only time he like had trouble waiting for that to happen was when he was trying to get arrested and couldn't quite make it happen. Yeah, that was good.
Yeah. I really enjoyed his dancing at the end, dancing with his butt. That was great. When he was just sort of shuffling around on it. Again, it's just something about shoes that I just found really funny. And the skates, and then just the beginning bit with the wrenches and the bolts.
Yeah,
I felt like that went on.
I could have watched that for longer, even.
Yeah,
what?
I really liked it.
He found quite a lot of different permutations of that, didn't he? And they were all funny and just kept on working. It was the other guys like trying to beat him up, but that was just meaning that they were getting behind on their work and they had to go back to it. And,
I think that lunch machine looks great. I'd happily sit in that and be fed by a machine.
I thought that was quite good. That was one of the first scenes, wasn't it? It was in the first 10 minutes. Really early. And what a damning indictment of like commercial capitalism. one of the things people must have talked a lot about at this time was machines replacing people's jobs, which had been happening for the last 100 years, and people must have had a lot of anxiety about that. And then just the idea the machines are just replacing humans at everything, including feeding themselves. And that, these companies would be so desperate to squeeze every last cent out of things that they'd spend enormous amounts of money. And as we saw, spending enormous amounts of money on things that turned out to be a complete waste and total folly because they got greedy. And that's exactly what we know these corporations do. Companies, just making stupid decisions based on short-term payoffs that are just never really going to work. That was quite good.
God, it could have been made today, eh?
In many ways, it could have been, right? Mm.
Maybe it is a good title.
Yeah, I think so. It's good for reminding us, if nothing else, that this was not a period piece. It was meant to be about what was happening right then at that time. I think the key points haven't really changed all that much. There's a question there of what it would be about now. How would this be different if it was made today?
Hmm.
Like, they probably wouldn't be in a factory.
Yeah.
Be code monkeys.
It'd be code monkeys. I like that. Yeah, they'd be working in an Amazon warehouse or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that would do it.
And the machine would be, like, making their lunch for them in such a, like, cutting the sandwiches so that the shape of the sandwich is an advert or something like that.
It's a lunch machine and a toilet, so you don't have to leave your station in the entire 12 hours they require you to be there.
Yeah. I think this was seen as, in some ways, dated, even as it came out. All of the studios were doing talkies, and everyone was expected to make talking pictures at this point. And it was unusual to release a silent film at this point, apparently, which is why he was even, you know, experimenting with these scenes that had a soundtrack to them. But he never had the main character talk, and most of the scenes are still silent with like a few sound effects. And that was as interesting. That he was sort of doing it the old school way.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, it reminded me of Paddington 2.
Oh, what's that?
Have you seen Paddington comedy? 2?
I have.
And just the scrapes. Just this innocent guy who's just bumbling along being like, oh no, there's been a misunderstanding. Now he's in prison. Oh, there's a chase scene. Yeah, okay. Oh, there's a bit of, you know.
Yeah, do you know what? There's something in that. Because I was trying to think of what's carrying the torch for that kind of slapstick humour.
There you go.
And I guess that's it. And again, to rave reviews, very well-received film that had a lot of fun to it, but also something a little bit to say about humanity and love and things. Yeah, that's the... Modern times of modern times. It's Paddington 2.
Two modern two times.
Two modern two times.
Two times what?
We had two instances of someone getting a cream pie in the face. That was what I wanted to see. Oh. I was watching that thinking like, yeah, back to basics. That's comedy. Don't need all of this surrealist stuff with people. Yeah, none of that.
So there were bits of it. I think this was the same issue we had watching Halloween, where it felt like a lot of cliches and you knew what joke was coming, but this would be the first time that had happened, you know. The audience weren't sitting there going, right, just get to the point. So in some ways I was giggling before the punchline because you're anticipating it. But that's not...
God, the audiences must have lost their minds.
I know, can you...
Cream pie in the face. I mean.
The funniest thing they could ever have imagined. Oh, he gets hit in the face with the pie. Yeah. Yeah, there were bits where you could, like, see the setup, and it seemed obvious that, like, even just seeing the setup, you were meant to start laughing. But maybe you weren't, I don't know. Like, when the guy accidentally leaves the bolts on the plate.
Yeah.
I think, oh, right, so that's going to go in his mouth, and you can play half the scene out in your head before the eating machine revolves round and it ends up pushing the cogs in. Yeah. No less funny for it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it makes me want to see some earlier ones as well. I've seen like one or two short silent films from his really early period, but that was years ago. I just remember finding them hilarious. Yeah,
you know, even though brilliant. I really enjoyed this, I would put up the same fight if you tried to make me watch another one. Okay. Still something in me that's like, nah.
Well, I'm delighted we've got this system where we have complete control.
Yeah.
Absolute dictator for a week at a time.
The great dictator.
Yeah, well, there we are. Yes. I won't. I mean, this was on my list of films I was going to pick at some point. I was glad you went to it.
Oh, that's good.
Here's one for stuff that makes us react a bit differently now. The view screens where the boss could see everybody in all the different rooms. Mm. through these screens. This film came out like 10 years before the novel 1984 did. And I wonder if the idea of these screen, these sort of menacing screens being in rooms watching people so that, you know, the big wealthy people in charge can keep an eye on you. I wonder if that was something that people had thought of before.
Yeah.
Like the way he caught him smoking in the bathroom and this screen lit up and he said, get back to work. That seemed to be, yeah, saying something about the intrusion.
Yeah, I don't know.
And whereas nowadays we think straight away, oh yeah, like in 1984, or at least I did. Yeah, the telescreens watching everyone. Yeah, whereas that, I mean, science fiction in 1984, it certainly must have been at this time that you didn't have screen like two-way screens like that where you could watch people at that time.
God, they were onto it back then, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, again, it just makes me think Charlie Chaplin, smart guy, knew what he was talking about. Or had something to say anyway. Wasn't just someone who could walk a bit funny and take a pie to the face. Someone who, yeah, grew up in poverty and, again, so, well, apparently we can all read Wikipedia pages. But it said that he got part of the idea for this film was after he'd spoken to Mahatma Gandhi.
What?
And discussed like, the mechanization of industry with him. And Gandhi was basically saying that mechanized industry is a bad thing because it ruins people's lives. And Charlie Chaplin didn't entirely think it was a bad thing, but that relentlessly building them for no motive other than profit had ruined lives and put people out of work. And yeah, then he started thinking about making this film, apparently.
Yeah. Well, so, that's a fun fact.
Gandhi getting straight in here.
Shout out to Gandhi.
Yeah. Let me tell you about that conversation we had with Lenin the year before.
It sounds like an IMDb, like a made-up IMDb fact.
Yeah. I think this is my favourite Gandhi film.
Yes, definitely. It's in my top three anyway. Fernando, did you find this just sort of entertaining in how funny it was? Or were you thinking about these like social aspects of it throughout? What were you thinking as you went through?
I was, I guess it was both entertained at times, just at times, but mostly I guess I was thinking of the poverty, and then I guess I was making analogs to life in Mexico nowadays. Right. I was thinking, oh, I guess, for example, the scene where this person describes Wells and says, I'm not a robber, I'm just hungry. I wonder how often that happens nowadays in Mexico, and how often people are just hungry and... Mm. Well, they cannot even be robbers, probably, because there's nothing to rob. But yeah, I guess it was just, yeah, making comparisons to the United States in 1920 and live in Mexico in 2024.
Eek. That's a bit worrying, isn't it?
Just that there's a lot that hasn't changed, you mean?
Yeah. I feel like we should have done better.
Yeah.
Stupid capitalism.
So you're one of these communists as well, right? Get in the police van. Nino. 1 week
later. Wait. So I believe I know nothing. I know very little about capitalism and socialism and the other thing, communism. But what I've read from the internet, probably Wikipedia, is that nowadays, apparently, this is what my understanding is, that there's no economy that is like 100% capitalist, nor an economy that is like 100%. I don't know the difference between socialism and communism. Like, I'm going to say 100% communist, but apparently every country in the world is like termed a mixed economy. So maybe it's just the matter of trying to find the correct or the appropriate balance between capitalism and communism, socialism.
Yeah.
There's something in that, I think.
Yeah, I think almost everyone would agree with you there. It's about finding the right balance, and what people who complain about stupid capitalism are people who want the balance to be a bit more social, and people who complain about the bloody commies taking all of our money want it to go a bit more the other way.
Mm.
I don't know, man. You should follow Navarra Media. They're pretty communist.
I don't know what that is.
It's just a news site. Left-wing communist news site. It's very anti-capitalism.
Oh, so they want an absolute 100% one way?
Well, pretty much dismantlement of, capitalism. Don't think, it's not, you can't reform it or just improve it. It's got to go.
Yeah, just personal property needs to be abolished. And
there's no ethical consumption in capitalism.
Exactly.
But this is just what Fernando's saying, right? There's also no such thing as complete capitalism. Some people favour an entirely Marxist state, don't they?
Mm.
While some people also seem to favour a completely capitalistic state with essentially no social government.
I mean, it would also, I think what people don't realise is that something like that would have no restrictions on trade or industry. So there'd be no rules about sending children up chimneys or just anything really. The balance is definitely somewhere. As soon as you as a society decide on rules of engagement, then it's not purely capitalist.
Yeah. Almost nobody would, although I'm sure some people, but almost nobody would want to go completely.
Mm-mm.
There's no rules about anything in the economy.
Yeah.
Hmm. Wonder what Charlie Chaplin thought. Wonder if he had a decided view.
We'll never know.
I guess not.
Mind you, Robert Downey Jr. did a film in 1982 about Charlie Chaplin, where he played Charlie Chaplin. Maybe that would tell us.
Oh, we should watch that. We should have watched that for research.
Yeah, I'm sure Robert Downey Jr.'s got the lowdown.
Is that before or after jail?
He got even to jail.
Why did he go to jail?
He certainly disappeared for a while.
Yeah, he went seriously off the rails between his first career and his second career, right?
Yeah.
That's almost all I know about him.
I don't think I've got much more to say.
Is there any symbolism we want to do?
Do we have the bell? Lovely.
So we talked about people getting stuck in the machine, right? he got dragged into the machine and turned around and spat back out again. And then, later he threw a spanner into the works.
He didn't. He dropped it accidentally.
He did that by accident.
He did not have strong political feelings. Just accidentally get caught up in them.
That's great. Again, repeated with him carrying this flag that he didn't realise what it stood for. Yeah, brilliant.
Any action?
Started with a clock. Modern times. Just got it. Yep. The opening credits is on a background of a clock ticking.
Yeah.
Oh, so clock for times.
Yeah. Fine. Was it a modern clock or was it an old-fashioned clock?
Well,
I think it was pretty modern for the time, wasn't it? It was a big machine with cogs and stuff. Again, I thought this was quite clever. Maybe a little subtle thing that wasn't quite clear what he was doing. Do you remember when they're sitting outside? He's just met the gamin and they're sitting outside someone's house just chatting.
Mm.
And he says, he sees the perfect little wife waving goodbye to her perfect husband who's going off to work. And he says, can you imagine us in a house like that? And then they have this little daydream. And it is the American dream, isn't it?
Yeah.
Of living this perfect little life. And everything was just taken to an absurd extreme. And we saw how his conception of this was a bit a bit flawed, a bit silly. Was that meant to be a parody of the American Dream?
Maybe. I thought it was more that, or maybe it was a wider commentary, but that he was so far out of that world that he couldn't even imagine what it actually looks like.
Yeah, okay.
Like asking Heather what she thinks the atmosphere on the moon is.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, so maybe it was just a joke about the tramp being out of touch.
Not so much out of touch as excluded from that world.
Yeah, okay.
That's just unattainable for him. That's a world he doesn't see.
So there's a symbol in there, isn't there?
Yeah.
He represents the poor.
Mm.
The poor can't even really imagine what it would be like.
To be middle class.
To be middle class, to be... Because that wasn't even a particularly big house or a particularly wealthy couple.
No.
That was just people who were getting on okay. And he couldn't even really understand that properly.
Mm.
And maybe that's saying something about, yeah, this, the American dream, the dream of making it big and everything being okay, that people who are down and out don't even really understand what they're dreaming about.
Mm.
They don't really know what the reality of that is because it's so hopelessly out of reach. Mm.
Does that chime in with his moment at the end where he's singing nonsense? He's finally got his moment.
Oh, and he can't even do anything with
gibberish.
It. Yeah. Yeah, that was good. I think I need to watch that scene again where he's singing the gibberish because I think he's acting out the stuff that was written on his cuff, wasn't
yeah.
he? But I couldn't quite remember what was on the cuff before he started doing it.
Neither could he.
Yeah, there we are. I need to give that another watch because that was great. Apparently that's the only time you hear the tramp's voice in all of the time with that character. And he wasn't even speaking. He wasn't speaking and they weren't proper words. It's quite nice. Yeah, and that was when they'd finally got it. They'd both got a steady job and everything was going to be okay. And then the bloody system caught up with them and dragged them back down. Definitely got this bitterness to it, hasn't it? You don't need to have that in a fun comedy film. It could have been a happy ending where everything was fine.
Yeah.
But he brought it all the way up and then had them have to run out and completely abandon everything again.
Oh, good film.
Brilliant stuff. Yeah. Thanks for picking it, Claire.
That's all right. Were you going to call me Heather?
Yes, I've been talking to her a lot lately. Oh, God, here's the easiest game we've ever played. What's the connection to Bicycle Thieves? Bloody hell.
That was about bicycles, and this was on roller skates.
There was wheels.
Wheels.
They're both damning indictments of the system we live under. And
downtrodden, hungry, poor. Just desperate to gain any foothold in the world.
I think it's probably the wheels.
Yeah, wheels as well.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah, we've had a couple of films in a row there, haven't we?
Yeah.
Do you still have to pick Michael?
Yeah. you picked Evil Under the Sun, which I'm going to say was possibly slightly less worthy than these two, although I really enjoyed it.
What? Get a bit pissy boots.
And my pick is gonna my pick I really don't know which way it's gonna go. So
ooh,
exciting.
How exciting.
I don't think I have any other thoughts.
I liked it when he sprayed the guy who arrived in the van to pick him up from the hospital with oil in the face.
Yeah.
It was very naughty.
Yeah, a lot of spraying with oil, wasn't there?
And I also like when he accidentally sent the boat off into the water and everybody was just looking shocked and horrified. That's another highlight.
Yes, he actually just got his coat and walked off, just assuming he was going to be fired. Right, that's great.
Terrific.
That was really good. I think I liked one of the memorable bits for me was when he'd crushed the pocket watch and it was completely flattened and like five times the diameter it was to start with, and he was still listening to it and trying to claim that it was still working. Yeah, great stuff.
Fernando, any closing thoughts?
What are my closing thoughts?
I can share my closing thought while you think of yours,
yes,
Fernando.
Yes.
If you want. I think it's a shame that Hitler ruined the toothbrush mustache. I think.
Yeah.
That's a real loss.
Yeah, I think we need to take it back, don't we?
Yeah.
That's probably why he made the Great Dictator, just as a little revenge.
Mm.
This guy pinching his look.
That was just absolute quality, yeah. Real shame.
Fernando?
Well, my closing thought is, I'm glad that they had tamales in the United States in 1920s. When Charles Chaplin goes to the cafeteria, one of the signs on the wall says, tamales, 15 cents. And I was like, oh, I'm glad they have them there. I'm glad they have them there.
That's a good point.
Something we could all be grateful for. Michael.
Do I have a film for you? Now, I said this could go either way, and that's not because I haven't chosen. It's because I don't quite know what this film's going to be like.
Ah.
Ooh.
This is a film called Victor/Victoria.
Ooh.
That's Victoria, 1982.
Okay.
I haven't seen it, and I'm hoping for the best.